Welcome back. Here with the news at one. First, we go to the escalating violence in Gaza. US Secretary of State John Kerry has arrived in Jerusalem as part of diplomatic moves to find a solution to the conflict. The top human rights official in the world has said that Israel's military actions in Gaza could amount to war crimes. Navi Pillay, the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights, also condemned Hamas for indiscriminately firing rockets into Israel. At least 649 Palestinians and 31 Israelis have been killed since Israel launched its ground and air offensive over 2 weeks ago. Ms. Pillay was speaking in Geneva earlier.
My staff are continuing to document several other cases in which family residences were destroyed with the reported loss of civilian life, and in which preliminary indications suggest not even a single member of an armed group was present. Then just 2 days ago, on 21st July, shells hit the Al-Aqsa Hospital in Deir al-Bala, reportedly killing at least three people and wounding dozens of others, including doctors. These are just a few instances where there seems to be a strong possibility that international humanitarian law has been violated in a manner that could amount to war crimes. Every one of these incidents must be properly and independently investigated.
Navi Pillay, the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights, speaking at a sitting of the UN Human Rights Council earlier today in Geneva. We're joined now by Ian Black, the Guardian newspaper's Middle East editor. Ian Black, those comments from Navi Pillay, firstly, are they in any way unexpected? Secondly, what might they accomplish?
I don't think they're unexpected. I think Navi Pillay is the top human rights official for the UN is simply doing her job and drawing attention to what on the face of it are, well, what are clearly terrible civilian casualties in the Gaza Strip, and she's suggesting that these may constitute war crimes. That is the role that she plays. She's been doing similar things, for example, over the last 3 years with respect to the conflict in Syria, which has taken a far greater toll, of course, over a longer period. So she's drawing attention to it. It's obviously politically a very sensitive issue. The crisis is ongoing. Israel says that it is acting to defend its own citizens. Hamas says it has the right to resist occupation, although it was interesting that she did also say, Navi Pillay, that they were breaching the international law by launching indiscriminate attacks on Israeli civilians. But I think that in any way you look at how this crisis is going to unfold, however it develops, the question of accountability for human rights abuses, war crimes, crimes against humanity, is going to become part of the story. And in the session that was held in Geneva, you heard, which was initiated at the request of the Palestinians, you heard each side lay out its view of the crisis, with Israel defending itself, accusing the council of behaving in a negative way, and the Palestinians talking about the breaches of human rights that were being committed. So it's part of the battle. More importantly, in the foreground, of course, is the ongoing attempt to secure a ceasefire, without which nothing is going to get better in the short term.
And in relation to accountability in this process, Israel has viewed the Human Rights Council as biased, has refused to attend previous sittings of it, and a representative was there today, as was a representative of the Palestinian community. What have they been saying? How would you characterize Israel's response to the charges laid by Navi Pillay?
Well, Israel's response has simply been to say that it's Hamas that is committing crimes. These are terrorists whose provocations have required Israel to defend its own citizens. A very robust defense. It's true that in the past Israel has boycotted the sessions of this council, which has been hostile to Israel over a long period. It clearly thought that this was an important opportunity to defend its own position in the face of international outrage over the terrible images that we've been seeing from the Gaza Strip. How this plays out is hard to say at this point. point, I think that it was probably designed by Navi Pillay as a sort of warning shot to say, look, there are these very grave concerns, and the Israeli explanations are not adequate. The Israeli side says through its ambassador to the UN that it is observing international law and taking due precautions. The evidence on the ground doesn't conform with that. The large number of civilian casualties of children and women, a large proportion of the, I think, 650 fatalities that have been so far have, according to the UN, been civilians. And that doesn't fit with the line of the Israeli forces taking care to avoid such casualties. And that is clearly going to be in the spotlight as long as this operation continues.
Now, Ms. Pillay's comments were before the UN's Human Rights Council, where no single country has a veto. Whatever comes out of that council today, I suppose the real action is going to be at the Security Council, where, of course, Russia does have a veto.
Well, that's right. In terms of matters of political importance, the Security Council has mostly had automatic support built in for Israel, whether from the form of veto by the United States and sometimes passive support from Britain and France. I think that there's nothing immediately heading for the UN Security Council as long as these attempts are continuing to put together a ceasefire. And of course the argument will be, certainly from the Israeli side, that as long as attempts are being made to secure a ceasefire, then other action that appears to be mostly designed to criticize Israel will not be constructive.
But I think the US Secretary of State John Kerry has said that steps forward to secure such a ceasefire are being taken. He hasn't given us any details. What do you read into that?
Well, I think we know a little bit about that, and that's the idea that the shape of any agreement would be for an immediate ceasefire to be followed immediately by talks about wider issues in the future. Now, on the face of it, that sounds fine, but if you're the Palestinian side, if you're Hamas, who have launched this offensive with the clearly enunciated goal of securing an end or a significant easing to the siege of Gaza, then agreeing to a ceasefire without some prior guarantee that the siege is going to change in some way, it doesn't look very convincing. And I think there's a problem there. There's a problem because on both sides, Hamas, who, despite the large number of civilian casualties, appear to be confident, they appear to feel that things are going their way. On the Israeli side, the more confident Hamas are, the more determined I think the Israelis will be to see this purely in military terms of destroying what they see as the terrorist infrastructure of rockets and tunnels and so on. So you have, I think, against the background of the urgency of the need for a ceasefire, you have the two protagonists looking fairly well dug in their positions, making it very difficult to bring about the immediate end to hostilities that is so urgently required.
Ian Black, Middle East editor with The Guardian newspaper, thanks indeed for speaking to us this lunchtime.